Good evening, everyone. This is Pacifica's Audit Committee. It is August 19th, 2019, and it is 8:38 p.m. So welcome, everybody. Let me take tonight's roll call. Give me a moment to get there. Okay. Adriana Laviolette, she told me she would be late. Darlene Pagano?
Adrian's actually asking for an excused absence.
I'm sorry, who did you say? What? Please don't interrupt. Let's not talk over each other anyway, because it's hard to hear if you're talking while I'm talking, whoever that was. I don't know who that was. So, Darlene Pagano, Donald Goldmacher, Eileen is here, Elaine Duncan,
here,
Eugene Hammond,
yes, I'm here,
great, Gary Bost, okay, Grace Aaron,
here.
Oh, I have Jamie Gomez here, but is Jamie still on this committee? I don't think he is.
No, but he hasn't been replaced yet.
He dropped off. Okay. Let me just take him off then. James McFadden is here.
I'm here.
Is Julie Hewitt? Okay. Marilyn Vogt Downey. Micheline, I know you're here. Paulina, we know you're here.
Here.
Sean Rhodes?
Here.
Okay, so we've got enough people to move on. All right, get back to my agenda. Okay. I'm sorry, Paulina, I forgot that. Now you should be taking the role from now on.
That's right. And I was about to say so, but just to quickly review, I have recorded as present currently Eileen Rawson, Elaine Duncan, Eugene Hammond, Grace Aaron, James McFadden. Is Julie Hewitt here?
No.
No. Okay, and then... Paulina Vasiliev, that's myself. I didn't hear your responses for Marilyn and for Micheline.
Marilyn is not here, but Micheline is here.
Okay, great. And Sean Rhodes is here, right?
Yes.
Okay,
great.
Good.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
And I'd like to excuse Adrian's absence.
Okay. I'm pretty sure she wrote to me and said she'd be late.
Adrian?
Let's see.
And she has sent an email saying that she'd be late, but she'd like to have her absence excused.
She said at roll call, please excuse my absence. And if I show late, then yay. So she might turn up. We'll see. So she's not here now. So she's not here. Okay, thank you. Selection of timekeepers. Do I have a volunteer? Somebody, please.
Ellen, I'm sorry. This is Elaine. I'll do the timekeeping. I can't get to the, the agenda. So if you would tell me before we start, I think, how much time we have so I can do it that way.
Okay. Thank you. I will read over the agenda after we get through the agenda. Okay. Thank you, Elaine. The approval of the agenda, we've got 5 minutes for that, so I will read the agenda. The first substantive point is a quick update on fiscal year 2018 audit, 5 minutes. Then we have a presentation from Jorge Diaz, our auditor, from Rogers & Company. And I think I put 1 hour for that to include questions and comments. Point five is a short update on the pension audits, What did I put for that? 5 or 10 minutes? Let's make it 10 minutes. Huh?
You put 10 on the agenda.
Okay, good. Thanks. Apparently I didn't copy it to my own little thing here. And then action items and any other new business, 5 minutes. And to select the next meeting date, 5 minutes. So do I have a second or a motion to approve the agenda?
This is McFadden. Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, go ahead, James.
It seems like there's going to be a long time on this audit education portion, and a lot of us know how to do an audit already and don't necessarily want to sit through that education, but we would like to deal with a couple of the other things that are after it. And so if you could move those forward and put the education last, I think that would make sense.
I guess that's a thought. I think we can do that. Really just a short update on the pension audits, really. Because it's some people do know about audits and some people in the committee don't know about them. So that's why we plan for this presentation. Does anybody have a problem with moving point 5 to be point, well, what is now point 5 to be point 4 following the update, a quick update on the 2018 audit? Okay, no objections. We will move it. On 2018 audit, good. Okay. And after that, it's just action items and selecting the next meeting date. So we'll just move the one thing. And if you don't want to stay on, we can always, let you know when the next meeting date is later. Okay? All right. With that change, can we approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay. Any objections? Okay, thanks. Jorge Diaz is here from Rogers & Company, and he will be, I didn't ask him to prepare anything, but I think he can give us a quick update on how things are going on the fiscal year 2018 audit.
So yes, thank you, Jorge. And good evening, everyone. Again, this is Jorge Diaz from Rogers & Company. We've been in constant communication with George Walter from NIDA and their team. We're making good headway with the audit. There are still a few things that we're waiting on and that George is compiling from the various stations, for which then he's going to flip over to us and our team. And I spoke with him today. We have a status call every Monday, and he informed me that he should be getting the vast majority of what is still outstanding to us by the end of this week. At that time, it'll probably take us, 3 to 5 business days to analyze and look at what's going on and provide any follow-up questions or items of that nature. So, not much of an update, but we are moving along, and it is moving much smoother than it has in the past. And I think, by the end of this month, we'll certainly probably be in a really good position in terms of and really know where we stand in terms of how getting the deliverables to you all and getting done. Also, just a quick thing. I know there's a lot of email traffic going back and forth about the 990 tax return. So that was filed on the 15th to hit that IRS deadline. So that was also much of the focus last week. As well, which so now that that's behind us, we'll be back in the saddle with the audit. And again, we are expecting a large amount of information from George and his team this week. So with that, I'll just open it up for any questions or happy to move on if there is nothing more to say on that.
Paulina, go ahead.
Do we expect to be able to complete the audit by September 30th, as announced at our local board meeting yesterday?
Did you say by December 30th?
September 30th.
September 30th. Yeah, I mean, we'll know more probably by the end of this week and into next week. You know, that's I think that's realistic so far. We have made progress so far, so I think that could be realistic. It just depends on how the next couple weeks go. But, yeah, that's certainly still the target and still, we're still on pace to be able to hit that, assuming we continue to keep pushing the ball back in each other's courts. So certainly still on target for that.
Myself to the stack. I didn't know that that was a target date for us. Where did that date come from?
Grace mentioned it yesterday. Unless I'm completely mistaken, maybe she can verify.
Huh?
That's just the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
I just had mentioned that. Hopefully, the audit would be done within a month.
Okay,
I'm just giving a guesstimate. Jorge would have a much better concept.
Right, but I was wondering if that was a date that was floating around, or if it just popped up out of
my whole thing. The fact that we're in the middle of August, and regardless of September 30th is a target date, we're still in a position where if progress gets made, we'd be able to hit that end of September date. So point is that because we're into the process and we have had progress made, at this point, if things run smoothly, we could be in a position to finalize by then if that is a prerogative, or if that does happen. That, because, you know, we do a lot of audits from start to finish, and knowing how much that we're done so far, you know, we're still not complete, but we still have a good chunk done. We could be done by that date, should you all need it, or it may just so happen to be that way for the natural progression of an audit. So that was my point, and just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, and my point was that I just didn't know if somebody had defined that date previously or not, because if not, then, you know, we shouldn't bandy about dates at the stations if there isn't some backup for them. See what I mean? And the other point being that the sooner the better, Jorge, you know, just because that will allow us to start moving on some other things like grants and maybe the CPB, I don't know. So, but not to rush it either, of course. Okay, thank you for that. The next point is we wanted to get a little update on the pension audits, and I was hoping Grace could provide that for us.
The pension audit is, as far as I know, we have not yet completed the 2015 pension audit. That needs to be completed, and the 16th. The 16, 17, and 18, obviously. However, a lot of progress has been made in gathering together information needed to make the pensions whole. Most of it is census information that we needed to gather, and that was what that means is employees from the past were pensioners. There were about 21, I think there were 21 people we did not have adequate information about that included Social Security numbers, date of birth, date of hire, date of termination, that information. And we were gathering that, and I think we got almost all of that. And then maybe some more research can be done to get the rest done. I believe that all of the money that is owed by the stations to the pension plans have been remitted to the pension plan. I'm not absolutely certain about KPFK, but that would be on the order of maybe $15,000, $16,000 that might be owed still by KPFK. I'm just not certain about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jorge has some information about that. But otherwise, there is enough money in the pension plans to fulfill all the pension obligations to all of our past employees who are part of those plans. And There are there's a new a pension agreement that I'm going to sign after approval, either approval from the PNB, or I may just be able to sign it myself as a member of the pension plan committee. We have to figure that out, but probably we're going to just ask the PNB to approve that in a few days. So that will be a new pension plan agreement with just some slight modifications from the old agreement. And that's about it.
I have a couple of questions, I think. I think we're just about finished with the 2015 audit of the 403B plan, because, you know, we have two different retirement plans or funds. So a draft of the 2015 one was sent out, and our pension expert firm commented on it, and I think the actual auditor was about to make the changes. May have done so already, I don't know, to finalize it. If he hasn't already, I think he probably will any moment. And then he'll move on to 2016. So it just takes time, but now that we've gotten most of the information, it should get increasingly easy to get through these years. Jorge, we also do have to do audits for the 401A plan, don't we?
You said the 401, which plan did you mention?
The 401A, yeah, because he's, Rena's been working on the 403B mainly, right? But he still needs to move forward then on the 401A, isn't that right?
It depends how many participants are in that plan. I was just aware of the ongoing 403B plan audit. Yeah, I mean, that can certainly get scoped out, and I imagine that could be done by the same firm who's doing that plan. Really depends. It'd probably be a better question for them.
Yeah. Like I said in an email to the committee, I think a few days ago or last week, we're working on putting together a summary of all these things where we can have them on paper. So, you know, it's actually very complex, and it's hard to remember all the details for those of us who aren't actually, you know, with our, working on these things ourselves. So we'll try to get that in some kind of order to share with people soonish. But things are moving forward, that much I can say. Thanks. Okay. Anything else on the pension audits? Any particular questions? Okay, we can move forward then to this presentation.
Eileen, actually, yes, Paulina here.
Paulina, go ahead.
Question. And if it's okay, it's a question in about the audits in general, both the pension and the...
go ahead. What is the question?
Yeah, okay. The question is the following. Do the auditors think that we have a chance of receiving an opinion that that would not be a disclaimer this year, meaning that is there evidence to suggest that we have gotten our books in order and that enough evidence will be presented for the auditors to actually have an opinion about the veracity, the accuracy of our statements audited materials at this time?
Yeah.
We're all concerned about applying for grants, such as...
Yeah, we understand the question, Paulina. Thank you. Jorge, can you answer for us?
Well, because, I mean, it really depends on the progress of these pension plans. Audits, to your point, you've had disclaimer of opinions in the past, or we issued a disclaimer last year for the 2016 audit, 2017, and, the previous audit firm as well. So that really that's really the basis for the reason of that is because the audits weren't being done at all for the IRS, and then we could, and then auditors as well as us couldn't really get comfort over any of the numbers relating to those, you know, those unfunded commitments and stuff of that nature. So we'll have to see where we are. I would imagine, though, for the 2018, you're still going to receive a disclaimer, given the, that the progress is really, to my knowledge, is only been complete, I guess, for 2015 and 2016. So, you know, really making sure we can see, and you know, once those reports are finalized, I can kind of take a look as well and see if there's any way we can certainly lift that disclaimer. But I would anticipate right now you're probably still going to be receiving a disclaimer in 2018 because, you know, those audits are still in progress.
Okay, but there's a possibility that for 2019 it might be a less dire kind of material weakness or deficiency or disclaimer.
Yeah, I mean, we'll certainly keep evaluating it as you know, as we go. You know, the impact of the liabilities on the financial statements, and we're not just going to go ahead and willy-nilly just keep issuing disclaimers. We really just need to see the progress, and when the time comes, you know, once we're closer to the end of the audit, we'll be able to speak more more about that. But I mean, right now, I'd probably anticipate still receiving a disclaimer this year. The important thing, though, is that it's the audits are getting more frequent, and they're more, you know, more timely. So, you know, the fact that we're, I think, 8 or 9 months now, better progress on this audit than we were for the 2017, just goes to show that there's progress being made. And I think things are tightening up from an audit standpoint, as well as, you know, eventually getting you all in the clean opinion or the unqualified opinion standpoint. So.
Right. And I'd like to point out that once we get the 2018 audit, we will actually be caught up, legally speaking. Then we'll just need to move forward right away on 2019 for February, but we'll be caught up, and that'll be great. Okay, thank you, Jorge. Okay, I think we can move forward to this presentation. For the listening audience, Jorge had sent out to those of us on the committee, he sent out a handout of just 9 or 10 pages, kind of a PowerPoint-looking thing on his presentation. You can actually download that from the Pacifica Meetings website, where this meeting is listed. I put it up, my choice was to put it up as the agenda PDF. So if anybody wants to, they can go to that page and download the document so they could read along with us. Other than that, I guess James McFadden is saying he probably doesn't need to listen to this part of this presentation. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but if you want to go, I guess this is the time to go. So thank you, everyone.
Okay.
And we'll be in touch about the next meeting date and any action items or new business. Okay? Thanks. Okay, Jorge, I guess we can move forward with the presentation if you're ready to do that.
Sure, thanks. And I know you have an hour on the agenda. I don't think this will take that long.
Right.
Certainly, if you want to stop at any point, feel free to, or we can just kind of hold off at the end and we can open up for questions after that. But
sure.
Yeah, again, the point of this is just to give overall you know, responsibilities, audit approach, some specific areas of audit emphasis, and also just, you know, remind folks in terms of what's an audit committee, the roles of an audit committee, and stuff of that nature. So just before we get in, on page 3 of this PowerPoint, we have a few key definitions and acronyms. GAAP, or U.S. GAAP, stands for Generally Accepted Accounting Principles. These are just the overall framework for which accounting needs to be to adhere to. So we issue an opinion to make sure that the financial statements are in accordance with GAAP. Now, there's also another set called Generally Accepted Auditing Standards, or GAS. That's the set of standards that we as audit firms have to abide by. Essentially, that's the FASB saying, okay, well, you have to, you know, there's certain things you have to be doing and performing in an audit. So those are the auditing standards, which essentially we have to abide by those standards to be able to provide an opinion over generally accepted accounting principles, if that makes sense. Internal controls or processes, these are the mechanisms, rules implemented by an organization to ensure that, you know, there's accountability in the finance function and in the financial and accounting records and information. And it really just promotes and tries to help and prevent fraud. I mean, you know, fraud is, you can't, there's no such thing as a perfect internal control system where it deters all types of fraud, but there's things that people do, and you focus on internal controls because there's many things that can be done to really deter acts of fraud. So that's the main thing about internal controls that we have to look at in an audit to make sure that there are things in place and exist. An audit scope, just to kind of say, this is, you know, how much we do look into things within the audit in terms of the type, range, and the period. So, you know, for example, the scope of this audit will be, or the one that's ongoing, is we're looking at all the transactions for the fiscal year 18, which, of course, is ending here in about 6 weeks. I'm sorry, that's a 19 year, but the fiscal year is the one that's ending September 30th, 2018. So we look at all the transactions and the elements that is taking taking shape within that audit cycle. And so, you know, we're looking at, you know, all, again, transactions, events, contracts, situations for which we need to really look into it and see how that may impact the audit. And one other quick definition is substantive testing, or what we do in an audit. This is the selection of the financial transactions to be able to substantiate the overall item or the transaction. So this is when we, on a test basis, we send items out to George and his team. He compiles it, and then we come back and get you know, solid forms of evidence, which generally is in the form of invoices, bank statements, cash receipts, deposits, agreements, canceled checks, stuff of that nature. So that's just the overall, you know, there's other things we do other than substantive testing in an audit. Like, we do a lot of inquiries, and we do what you call as analytics, but substantive testing is really the nuts and bolts of any audit that we look at when we do eventually get your books and records, and we do eventually need to provide an opinion on that. So turning to page four, just to quick reminder of the responsibilities in an audit. We, as an auditor, we need to plan and perform our audit to obtain reasonable assurance that the financial statements are free of material misstatement. We then express an opinion on whether the financial statements are prepared by management are materially correct and fairly presented in conformity with U.S. GAAP. So, of course, that hasn't been the case due to the pension plan liabilities in the past, but we still have to design an audit to be able to try and get there. So we look at you know, many different transactions and events and balances to be able to try and provide that level of assurance. And then, of course, we're required to communicate matters to management and to the governance under the regulations. So that's, you know, at the end of the audit when we provide a letter about adjustments, matters, deficiencies and controls, difficulties. Those are all required communications for which the auditing standards tell us that we have to communicate that to you all, too. So that's certainly responsibility in the audit, and we certainly do that through again, these Monday meetings. We certainly communicate any issues that arise as we perform that. Management is responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of the financial statements. So, even though we help provide and put together financial statements for the audit, management still takes responsibility for what's in those financial statements, okay? Management is also responsible for establishing and maintaining an effective system of controls, and they are also responsible for providing us with representations at the end. So that's just a standard management representation letter that it gets sent to us at the end of every audit. A lot of boilerplate things in there just for them really taking responsibility for whatever they told us and provided us in the audit, as well as what's being disclosed within the financial statements. Because at the end of the day, the financial statements are that of Pacifica's, and we just own the opinion page, really. So just that's the overall framework and the responsibilities in the audit. Just a quick kind of touching on the audit approach on page five of this presentation. So first, it's a risk-based approach, but we we first start and understand and review the business operations, key controls in the environment to try and help develop our audit scope and the nature and the extent of timing. We had set materiality levels, and materiality is really the threshold that we use in an audit to be able to say, okay, are the financial statements, or is this balance quantitatively or properly stated? So these are any levels. We're not supposed to share these with you because it's that's proprietary information, but we set materiality levels usually based on percentage of assets or revenue or net assets, and we come up with different thresholds and different things which kind of help shape our overall testing, our overall concepts of risk and stuff of that nature. So that is both set from a quantitative and qualitative standpoint. We also have to make assessments about the risk material misstatement, the risk of fraud, and other qualitative aspects relevant to the audit process. So, you know, there's a couple elements we always look at. There's always a risk that there's going to be a materially misstated due to revenue recognition issues. So that's why we really hammer revenue recognition in any audit. It's not just Pacifica's, and it's not just us as an audit firm. Revenue recognition is a hot button that you're always going to have a risk that that could be materially misstated. So revenue is always very heavily vetted in any single audit. We also need to make sure that there's proper things in place so that there's a risk of material misstatement due to management override of control. So what that means is, you know, if people were strong-arming finance or anything to be able to, you know, to kind of provide or kind of make, you know, unusual entries and stuff of that nature. So that typically, that's more of a concern when a place where you have everything, when you have your entire finance department in-house, but the fact that you are have those consultants with NIDA, there's a layer of protection there because they're not employees, they're just third-party consultants. But certainly we still look at that risk, and we look at journal entries made during a year to make sure that there is no issues or no concerns from that standpoint. And then after the assessments are made, we look at testing. Again, we look at these analytical and substantive testing procedures to be able to corroborate assertions within the financial statements and those transaction levels. So the testing, again, is the big bulk, and that's kind of we're on the testing element now of the audit. And again, we'll continue to have things that we need to look at and also probably have follow-up things when George provides some information this week to us. And just to quickly go through on page six, some areas of audit emphasis, we're always going to look at cash and cash equivalents. So we're going to make sure that we're going to confirm your bank accounts and make sure that the money that's in the bank account is and that's being reported to us is actually also being reported the same way with your financial institutions. We look at receivables to make sure that are they properly able to be received and that are they fully collectible? And if not, are there allowances built in? We look at prepaid assets and property and equipment. Obviously, you do have some significant property and equipment. We want to make sure that it's valued properly, that there's no impairment issues and stuff of that nature. We look at payables and deferred liabilities. And this is your liabilities on your balance sheet where we do many tests to make sure that whatever is being reported in this liability section is in fact complete. We look, of course, in our intercompany transactions because you do have many different locations. We like to look at some of these intercompany transactions and make sure that there's nothing unusual flowing through the stations and that they're all tying out and everything of that nature. And I know that's one of the big heavy lifts that George and his team are looking at right now and that are going to be providing us this week. Of course, we look at net asset classifications, endowment reporting. Anytime you do have donations that are temp-restricted or perm-restricted in nature, we need to make sure that they're properly classified and that they're being tracked as such. We look at revenue recognition for your grants, contributions, your listener support. So, again, those are the big areas that we'll be looking at. Expenses and cost allocations and making sure that there's any allocations are proper and that they're within they're properly accepted within the principles. Every audit, we also look at contingencies, subsequent events, going concern evaluations. Those are all just standard things that we need to evaluate in every single audit, regardless of the client. Look at related party transactions between, you know, whether it's different stations or the board or so any other members that, you know, make sure that if there are transactions as such that they're arm's length and that they're properly disclosed. And then look at subsequent events in other areas. So those are the major audit areas of audit emphasis, and we'll certainly have a more detailed report in terms of if there are any issues in those various areas once we kind of get closer to the end of this. Also, just as a reminder, since we did finalize that 2017 audit, you know, only a few months ago, there's our required communications to the audit committee. So I'm on page 7 now. So this is the letter that you get at the end. So I don't really have to go through it, but there are communications that we have to do provide to the audit committee. So we're required to provide you the scope and timing of the audit and let you know if there's any major delays or stuff of that nature. We have to let you know of any changes to significant accounting policies, estimates, disclosures. We have to let you know of any major adjustments or corrected or uncorrected misstatements. We're required as auditors to report to any audit committee or governance committee if they have any disagreements, if we have any disagreements with management or any difficulties encountered. And then, of course, the last piece, we also look at a management letter to, and we provide that regarding the overall internal control. So as a reminder, we don't provide an opinion on the internal controls of the organization, but we do have to look at internal controls to be able to help provide, you know, the support for the other areas that we look at in the audit. So we do look at these controls, and that's where we provide any recommendations or issues that we come across in the audit. And certainly you've had management letter comments before, and you'll continue to be getting management letters and these overall communications in the form of the SAS letters at the close of the audit. And those will be, of course, be discussion points sooner than later once we're getting closer to the end again of this 2018 audit cycle. Then the last couple slides of this really is just...
I was going to say, Jorge, maybe this is a good time for you there's kind of a break between what you just presented and what's coming. Maybe let people ask questions about, you know, the contents of what you've been presenting. And then we can talk a little about the role of the audit committee.
Sure. Happy to open up the questions.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So I know that was a lot of information. Does anybody have some questions that they'd like to ask right away?
Paulina to the staff, please.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, Paulina, go ahead.
I have two questions about the information presented. The first is about the obligation of the auditor to report disagreements with management to us, the audit committee. Have there been any disagreements with management as vis-a-vis the 2017 fiscal year? And if so, how were they presented, and which form? Is it in writing? Is it shared with the committee during meetings? That would be my first question, and then I'll ask my second one afterwards.
There have been no disagreements with management so far. And if there are significant disagreements, we're required to report that well before the close of the audit. But there have been none thus far.
Thank you. And then the second question is about going concern contingencies and subsequent events. How does the recent major over $3 million loan that Pacifica entered into figure in the 2018 audit as far as possible...
Paulina, I'm going to interrupt you because we're not talking about the contents of our audits right now. Jorge's making a presentation, an educational presentation.
I thought that's practical examples that make this information more relevant and more understandable to us as audit committee and to our public who is listening would be in the best interest of everybody. I don't see how it's not relevant, but maybe we should let Jorge decide on that.
I'm happy to touch on that briefly.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
So basically, what we do when we get closer to the end of the audit, we have to evaluate subsequent events up until our report date. So that means it would be from the time of, October 1st, 2018, all the way up until whenever we finish the audit. So subsequent event disclosure is one of the last things that we do look at. Now, there's different types of events that can trigger that. And what we do as auditors is once we get the information from there, we then have to run it through a matrix and say, okay, is this applicable or is this significant enough to disclose to these financial statements? Typically, if there are major financial transactions or events like that, you will probably have that. It's not going to impact the financial statements or the numbers per se, but there'd be a good chance if you are entered into a significant transaction or event that would be disclosed in the form of a footnote.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. Was that it, Polina? Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry if I misunderstood your question then. I think I did. Sorry. Okay, any other questions? If you find later that you do have more questions and you didn't get to ask them during this meeting, write them down and we can look into them on another meeting or by email. So we can then move on. Okay, Jorge, let's go on to the rest of your presentation then.
Sure. And so I just wanted to quickly just brush up on what an audit committee is and the major roles of an audit committee. And before I kind of get into that, I will preface this by saying every audit committee and every board's different. You need to really get in there and figure out what works best for the organization to be able to provide a proper governance oversight for these for the organization. But from the National Council of Nonprofits, an audit committee is either a task force or a standing committee that has been given authority by the board to provide accountability for the independent audit. Okay, so while the full board retains oversight authority, the audit committee's smaller size allows it to carry out its responsibilities in a more manageable environment. So that's the whole reason for any type of committee, is to try and make it more manageable, more efficient, and not so you have to involve the entire board. The audit committee would get together and then they take that overall audit results or whatever to the board. And that's the whole, again, the I don't think I have to go much more on those committees, but that's the whole purpose of having various committees on a board. Now, just to point out, the committee is not involved in the nonprofit's daily accounting functions, but you instead oversee the independent audit process, and you also obviously have a hand in hiring and evaluating us as the independent auditors. You also, which I know you guys have been involved with, you're the body that's accountable to make sure that there's recommendations made by the auditor in that management letter that we are required to provide to you all are actually at least, getting status updates to see whether or not they've been implemented or not. So, again, that's a definition from the National Council of Nonprofits. And the creation of an effective audit committee can help nonprofits meet their accountability goal. This committee's focus is the only in this area. So the benefits for that is improved financial practice and reporting, and there's better deterrence to fraud and enhanced external audit functions. Now, you all as a committee, I know you're very involved and you guys keep in touch quite often with management. So, a lot of this stuff may be boring to you, but there are nonprofits out there that really struggle with keeping in touch with their organization. And that's really what the purpose of this. So I'm not saying that you guys are doing everything here or not doing enough here, but this is just an overall refresher of the roles of an audit committee, which is on page 9. So, of course, you are responsible for reviewing the organization financial statements and any other financial information provided to the public. So that's why you all review these financials in depth, and you also review the 990 and stuff of that nature. You ensure that reports are received, monitored, or distributed correctly. Audit committees oversee the internal controls, the management compliance, and the applicable policies and procedures regarding risk management. Of course, you oversee the annual independent audit process, hence why we're having a call here and why we have multiple calls throughout the process. Review the annual information form 990 and recommend it for approval, signature, and submission by the organization. And of course, a lot of times audit committees will have responsibilities from a whistleblower standpoint or anti-fraud policies and stuff like that. So, that's not ingrained, again, in every single audit committee or every single organization, but sometimes if there are a whistleblower or there are issues with senior management, of course, the next thing to do is really to get someone from the audit committee involved. So, again, those are just overall general roles of an audit committee. And, again, those are, you know, again, you all have had a lot of communication regarding your roles and responsibilities in an audit. So just wanted to kind of give an overall refresher, and I think Eileen wanted me to touch on that as well. So at this time, I'll kind of open it up for any questions on those two last slides.
I've got a couple of questions, but I want to see if somebody else would like to go first.
I have a couple of questions too, but I'd rather wait for you, Eileen. I've spoken too much already.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thanks, Paulina. Some of what's stated on these last two slides about, you know, our follow-up on the management letter and that the committee oversees the organization's internal controls, including management's compliance with applicable policies and procedures and risk management. That sounds a little, I'm probably interpreting this wrong, but it sounds like the audit committee should have more direct involvement with the internal controls and or overseeing them or following up on management's activity. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah, sure. And again, it's every audit committee and every organization is different. And certainly your role is not to get in there and 100% vet the internal controls or really get in and try and start doing management functions. But if you had like a couple touch points to see how the recommendations and the issues in the previous letters were going with management, that's really all your obligation as a committee to be doing in that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. So would it make sense then for us to say in an executive session meeting to go through the 2017 management letter to see what we would want to follow up on or follow up on with you guys to see what your opinion's been? Or will that become pretty clear in the 2018 management letter, and at that point we can worry about it then?
It's probably best to wait for the 2018 letter because there'll be updates on the progress made or, you know, new recommendations or some of them will be gone if they're remedied. So I wouldn't go back. And also because, there's new players anyways in your consultants and in your management functions. So wouldn't go back. And also, but, you know, just to kind of make sure that we keep our independence as an audit firm, you know, that's conversations about the progress of these recommendations or internal controls should really be touch points with management and not really involve us unless there's any specific questions relevant to the audit. But that way it doesn't look then like we're, you know, a function of management or helping out, you know, governance from that perspective. So certainly any specific questions of those letters we're happy to address, but any progress updates and stuff like that, it should just be kind of touch points with, you know, George and his team as well as senior management.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, Paulina, your questions?
I actually had a question about, I think, the same bullet point as Eileen, where it says that one of the responsibilities of the audit committee is to review the organization's procedure for reporting problems. Jorge, what would be your opinion on the best practices for whistleblower hotlines and other, you know, communication methods? And in your opinion, is this going to be touched upon in the 2018 audit, your recommendations for making these procedures better and more transparent? Is there anything that comes to mind currently that would be important for us to start talking about? Obviously, you know, personnel issues should be in closed session, but, you know, what is our status as far as our methods currently to report and deal with problems and that as far as it, you know, reflects on the audit?
Yeah, so... the biggest thing about, you know, the biggest thing that I guess the biggest issues with nonprofits is sometimes they don't, sometimes employees don't know who to turn to. And the biggest thing that management and, you know, as a committee can do is, you know, for at least for the committee to assign, you know, at least one or two people for which employees could get a hold of if for whatever reason they needed to report any issues with senior management or something like that. You know, most of the lower level employees, they can just report to man, like to their direct bosses of any issues or concerns, and that's sufficient. But if the higher levels had issues, it's good that they would know someone that they could come to on the committee level to report any problems. So usually that's communicated in just an annual reminder, a very informal email, or just having someone brush up and say, hey, this is our whistleblower policy. You know, make sure you read it and make sure you have, you know, make sure you understand that there are people that you could go to should you consider any that they're, you know, if you have suspicion of fraud or something like that. So really communicating that there is something in place is the biggest issue that we find in audits, that they don't, that actually they don't have that. So.
Thank
Great.
You.
That's helpful. I don't know if we have a whistleblower policy, but I guess Nita is helping us put together or collect all the policies that we either don't have or that need updating. So if we don't have one now, I expect we'll have one soon.
Yeah, and some of these policies and procedures, you know, you really want to button those up. And, you know, sometimes, you know, some auditors will say, okay, maybe this isn't a huge issue, or maybe it is an issue. And it's really just making sure you put it in the proper light, and that eventually, you know, it sounds like, you know, that they're going to be going through that and making sure that everything is, you know, in good order. Now, I mean, you know, you can have all the, you can have the perfect policies in the world, but if you don't communicate that and people don't know about it, then they're, you know, virtually useless. So it's really a matter of getting them implemented and also just making employees aware of them and remind them of them as well. So.
These policies. Okay, great. I'm just taking notes. Okay, thank you. Okay. Does anybody have any other questions for Jorge on any part of this presentation? I'm not hearing any.
Sorry, I guess I'm learning a lot. What's the what would the auditors recommend right now in the short run between now that the FY 2017 audit's complete and we're working to almost towards the completion of the 2018, what would be for you the most urgent task for us as committee members?
I would just say to keep getting progress and keep making sure that there's the 18 audit is getting completed and that you're getting what you need. That's just from the audit standpoint, but as committee members, you know, we're already close to the end of fiscal year 19, making sure that you get, you know, timely and relevant financial statements, unaudited, of course, to you all, so you can kind of, you know, see how the 19 year went, and so that management, as well as with the support of you all, can make informed decisions. That's probably the biggest thing, absent trying to just push everyone to get this audit done.
Great. Yeah, that's, yeah, I think Nita's still, you know, trying to catch up with everything, and they're getting there bit by bit.
Yeah, and they've been great support to work with, and I know it's a big, it's a heavy lift, and yeah, they've been very impressed working with George and his team, so I think that's been a good thing so far, and hopefully things will continue to keep progressing, because things are getting caught up, and may not feel like it now, but I think things are looking a little better, so.
Great, thanks for that. Okay, all right, anything else? Okay, thanks. Jorge, I guess we can let you off the line now while we finish up our meeting.
Great. Well, thank you all, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Well, take care. Bye. Okay. So, let's see. We are pretty much done. We just got action items and any other new business. I'm not sure we have any. Does anybody have new business? Yeah?
I lean Paulina to the stack.
I was trying to get in.
Oh, go ahead. Go
okay.
This is
that Elaine?
KPFA. I've been on since right after roll call, so I got in late, but I've been following along. I just wanted to say present.
I'm sorry.
On the call.
Who was speaking? I'm sorry?
Darlene at KPFA.
Darlene. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Got it.
All right.
That's it?
I go back on mute.
Okay. Okay, Pauline, I think you can go ahead.
I just wanted to check on the status of past minutes. I thought that I had sent the minutes from the previous meeting way prior, but apparently I may have forgotten, so I send them to you today, Eileen, and let me know if there are any other minutes that I should distribute to everyone for approval, but that's the only new business that occurred to me at this point.
Yeah, I saw that you sent them to me this afternoon, so thank you for that. But I guess we didn't have time to review them. So I'll just send those out to everybody so they can have a look, and we will approve or ask for changes at the next meeting. Okay, send out to everyone. Okay. Does anybody have anything else? Okay. All right. Now, the next meeting. When do we need one? I don't know if we actually need one before the draft audit is ready. Does anybody think we need one?
This is Elaine. I agree with you. We'll have to spend some extra time reviewing all that, but I don't think we need to meet just to meet.
Right.
Elaine Grace for the SAC.
Go ahead. Grace.
Do we need to meet to approve the 2015 pension plan audit?
No, we don't approve the audits. We don't approve the pension plan audits. The administrative committee approves those.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And I think we can work on our little report on the pension plans and maybe send that out in written form.
Okay.
Instead of, you know, having a meeting about it, and, you know, then we can take questions at some future date. So should we put off setting a date until we have a better idea of when the financials might be ready, the audit, I mean? I don't know how to set a date without, you know, having something to meet about.
And you can always, this is Elaine again, you can always reach us by email so that,
right,
you know, if there's something we need to, we can schedule a meeting quickly, or we'll know we need it in 3 weeks. But I don't think you need to fret about it right now.
Okay.
This is great. I think you should set one for 2 weeks from now in both open and closed session, just in case we need it, with the concept that if it's not needed, it will be canceled.
Let's see. I think 2 weeks from now is Labor Day.
Oh, okay.
We're probably not going to meet then anyway. And but maybe I would set something for the 16th, which is 2 weeks after that, just to have something on the calendar.
sounds good to me.
Although I don't know if strategic planning will have their meetings, you know. So.
You mean 3 weeks from today?
Well, I was talking about 4 weeks at this point, because it sounded like, from what Jorge was saying, I don't think we'll be seeing any draft audit until the end of the month. You know, if I get information from George or Jorge that it looks like things are speeding along, you know, we can set a meeting for earlier, sooner.
Okay.
Why don't we just wait? There's no point in, you know, putting it up there.
Okay.
Until we have a better idea. That's my opinion. But, you know, not married to it either. Does anybody else have any inputs there? Or opinions? No. Okay, let's just leave it in the air, and I'll be, you know, I will be watching for progress on things, and I'll let you know when I hear of any, and if we get closer to having a date for looking at the audit. Yes?
Eileen, yes, Paulina here, if I may. I remember something.
Go.
So we have now an opening on this committee due to Jamie Gomez's resignation. Is that correct? Should we deal with that at KPFK? What's the procedure for replacing? Okay.
I think
this is great. We should have done that at our meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
Nobody thought of it. So just have to wait for the next LSV meeting.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. If you think you know who it is, you can start bringing them up to speed. But, you know, other than that, seems like there's not really going to be a big hurry. So, okay. I haven't got anything else. So if nobody else does, we could adjourn this meeting.
Okay. I'll say goodnight to you all. Yes.
Well, wait. Let's formally adjourn.
So
moved.
Somebody
second that? So moved by Grace. Who moved? Grace moved to adjourn. Okay. Somebody second? Do we need to second? Seconded by several. Okay. This meeting is adjourned at 9:40 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night. Take care.